Earlier this year, Jackson held a groundbreaking for the airport that could ultimately be controlled by people who live in Cook County. Officials in Will County don't like that idea, and with the congressman out of the picture, they are wasting no time pushing their own plan for an airport. Michael Puente reports.
On a chilly Saturday morning back in April, Congressman Jackson stood in the middle of a cornfield in Piatone. He was there to host a symbolic groundbreaking for a new airport he calls Abraham Lincoln National Airport.
The point is, it's the people's groundbreaking. We still need to have a groundbreaking with the politicians at a later date when the deal is done. But right now, the ministers... they are the point. Here they come.
A couple of hundred folks, made up mostly of ministers and churchgoers from Chicago's South Side, boarded buses to take the 30-mile trek south to Piatone. At the time, Jackson touted the project as a way to bring thousands of construction jobs to his district. He proposed to start with a $200 million 12,000-foot runway and a 5-gate terminal. Jackson hoped the airport would eventually be 3 times the size of Chicago's O'Hare International.
We have found developers who are willing to put up $700 million of their own dollars, and they want to be on this land by June 1st of this year.
Well, June 1st came and went, and today the site is still filled with rows and rows of cornfields. But Jackson isn't the only elected official who sees big things for this patch of farmland.
Transportation is always the pivotal part of a growing economy in a county that is going to be able to succeed.
That's Will County Executive Larry Walsh. He's also long promoted the benefits of a South Suburban airport.
To create jobs and to have good paying jobs, and to bring the quality of life that our people expect and deserve.
The question, though, is whose people? Congressman Jackson wants the Piatone Airport to fuel job creation not only for Will County, but Cook County's south suburbs. He also wants those areas to have a say in operating the airport, but that's a non-starter for Will County. Walsh wants Will County to have control of any airport that's built.
If that doesn't take place, and if we can't commit having that take place, then I don't know whether we need the airport.
Up until now, the debate over who gets control of a future airport has been hypothetical. But recently, the FAA approved the location of an airport runway and terminal in Piatone. Now, Walsh hopes to meet with Governor Quinn and the Illinois Department of Transportation later this month to push for Will County to oversee the project.
He understands the issue, but we just can't get him to commit to our way of thinking in regards to our plan.
Jackson's continued absence could make it easier for Walsh to get his point across to Quinn.
No question that Jackson illness, he is kind of the inspirational leader. He's a charismatic guy. He's in Congress, of course, so he can make things happen there.
Dr. Joseph Schwederman studies regional transportation issues at DePaul University.
I think Will County is gradually, you might say, gaining the edge. Without Jackson, there's a lot of energy is going to be sucked out of the Abraham Lincoln Airport faction.
Because of this unfortunate illness for the congressman, there are some people who want to be opportunistic about this whole situation.
Al Penn is chairman of the Friends of the Abraham Lincoln National Airport Commission, or ALNAC. He says with or without Jackson, ALNAC's mission remains the same.
Congressman Jackson, yes, is one singular voice, a very powerful, very dynamic voice in his own right. But there are other people who can talk about the viability of an airport.
Penn argues since ALNAC is a state-sanctioned commission set up to operate an airport, Quinn should give them control. Besides, he says, people from the south suburbs, like the ones bussed in for Jackson's groundbreaking, deserve to have first crack at airport construction jobs. After all, Penn says they did support Quinn's reelection 2 years ago.
When do they get rewarded for their loyalty to Governor Pat Quinn?
Penn believes Jackson will be coming back soon anyway. Will County's Walsh scoffs at the notion that the county is trying to take advantage of Jackson being out of the picture right now.
No, that doesn't play a role either.
Meanwhile, DePaul Schwederman says this airport squabble is turning into a circus which doesn't help either side's cause.
The whole thing is rather silly in a lot of ways. The spoils of an airport really flow to a whole region, regardless of who controls it.
As for Governor Quinn, he says if the state can figure out pension reform, there's no reason why they can't find common ground on the South Suburban Airport.
We're trying to do pension reform. If we can get that done, I think we can also climb another mountain and get everybody singing out of the same hymn book when it comes to the third airport that we need in Piatone, Illinois. It's a bursting area of economic activity.
And where's the city of Chicago in all of this, you may ask? Well, Mayor Rahm Emanuel has his own airport dreams. He wants billions to expand and modernize O'Hare. And once that's done, he says there's no need for Piatone Airport. I'm Michael Puente.
A booth promoting rights for gay and lesbian people has debuted at the Illinois State Fair this year. But not everyone thinks it should be there. Illinois Public Radio's Rachel Otwell reports.
The fair tries to offer something for everyone. There's the Ethnic Village, which features cuisine and music from around the world. And there's Adventure Village, where young children play on rides. Right between those two areas is a tent touting gay rights. It's a first for the gay rights groups that are sponsoring the tent. It's meant to draw attention to equal rights issues for the LGBT or lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community, notably the battle in Illinois for gay marriage. For partners Lee Cordy and Burt Morton, who are volunteering at the tent, activism is nothing new. They're members of a gay rights group based in Springfield, where they both live. Come September, they will have been together for 30 years. They want to be able to marry each other. Morton says it makes sense for LGBT people to be represented at the fair.
It's a community event. We're here, we're gay, and we're part of the community. And there were a whole lot of people that came over and signed in support of gay marriage, and that was heartening for us.
Not far away from the tent is a booth dedicated to saving people's souls. It's called the Godmobile, and the sign around it asks, "Are you going to heaven?"
What do you think about having this LGBT tent about probably less than 30 feet away from the Godmobile?
Well, according to the Bible, it's an abomination to God. And I think it's kind of disgraceful, really, for them to flaunt that in public, and especially with children walking back and forth past here.
Dennis Horn is from Decatur. Horn says when gay people come to the Godmobile,
I just show them what the Bible says about it. Treat them with love and respect and kindness, because that's what the Lord teaches us to do. And like I said, he loves them. He just hates their sin.
Some fairgoers who come by the tent for LGBT rights want to talk about the Bible. Jim Bennett says most of them have been respectful.
We have had so many nice people, either because they're gay and lesbian and they're so excited to see themselves being represented, or people that care about this issue, and even people that are not so excited about marriage equality, but they've been really respectful and just want to talk about it and why it matters to us and why it's important. So it's just been phenomenal.
Bennett is a Springfield native who now lives in Chicago and works for Lambda Legal, a national gay rights legal organization. The group, as well as the American Civil Liberties Union, are representing 25 couples in a pair of lawsuits pushing for the right to gay marriage. Cordy and Morton are plaintiffs in one of the cases. Cordy says the tent is a way for gay people in the state to gain visibility. He says over the years he has seen society increase its acceptance of his sexuality.
I think we're evolving, and I think this is going to be one of those last walls that's going to fall, and hopefully in my lifetime.
Cordy says the tent is a way to continue the fight for equal rights. I'm Rachel Otwell.
You may have caught a story in the last 24 hours about Champaign police seeking the public's help to locate 13-year-old Jamona Collier. She was reported missing on August 9th when she left home without permission. Well, we received word from the Champaign police just in the last few minutes. Jamona Collier is no longer missing. She returned home safely yesterday after her story initially aired.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Trophy Time in Champaign. Trophy Time features a variety of advertising items, name badges, plaques, and trophies. They can also design and create unique awards for any occasion. Trophy Time, they're more than just trophies. More information is available at 351-7958.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 14th of August, 2012. It's the birthday of the columnist and essayist Russell Baker, born Morrisonville, Virginia, 1927, who wrote the column The Observer for the New York Times from the early 60s to the late 90s, and his memoir Growing Up, which won the Pulitzer Prize in 1982. When he succeeded Alistair Cook as the host of Masterpiece Theater on PBS, Russell Baker said, "I'd like to be the man who succeeds the man who succeeds Alistair Cook." It's the birthday of the novelist Danielle Steele, New York City, 1947, who produces a book a year, every year. And to keep up that rate, she works on 3 to 5 books at once, starting out with a long outline, about 50 pages. She goes through it several times herself and with her editor, and then she writes an entire draft in one long push, just sleeping 3 or 4 hours a night, getting up, going back to work, and does not stop until the book is finished. She told the Wall Street Journal last year her favorite movies are romantic comedies. She said, "People might say I have the worst taste in movies, but I want a happy ending. If I wanted to stay home and cry, I could just look at the world around me." It's the birthday of the cartoonist Gary Larson, born Tacoma, Washington, 1950, who drew the syndicated cartoon The Far Side from 1980 to 1995. It's the birthday of Doc Holliday, John Henry Holliday, born in Griffin, Georgia, 1851, studied dentistry, but he couldn't practice because he had tuberculosis and patients were put off by his chronic cough. So he headed west, hoping the desert air would help him live a little bit longer, went off to Dallas, became a gambler there, and wound up in Tombstone in the Arizona Territory in 1880, when he took up with the Earp brothers, who were in the midst of a feud with the Clantons and the McLowry gang, which led to the famous shootout at the OK Corral, October 1881, about 30 shots fired in about 1.5 minute, leaving 3 dead and many wounded. Holliday survived. He died 6 years later of tuberculosis in Colorado. And after his death, the Denver Republican wrote, "Doc Holliday represented a class of men who were disappearing in the New West. He had the reputation of being a bunco man, desperado, and bad man generally. Yet he was a very mild-mannered man, was congenial and companionable, and had many excellent qualities." And it's the birthday of the poet Letitia Elizabeth Landon, born in London, 1802, popular for her romantic poems, which went out of fashion.